Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood.
What happened to Trusty?
No longer Trusty, no. Just sick and coughing and all that. As always, we take you behind the scenes to take a closer look at the UVA sports program. Since we returned from the ACC tournament, there have been some developments surrounding the UVA basketball team. Spring football practice is well underway, and the number one baseball team, number one tennis team, and the number one lacrosse team continue to roll along. We're glad that you've joined us.
Yeah, this is Hobbo playing a little hurt tonight. Fortunately, for those of you listening, I'm not contagious over the air. Now, by Friday, Frank is going to be sick as a dog sitting here beside me. Nevertheless, we have an abbreviated but very good show tonight, a half-hour show because of the Virginia Tech basketball pregame show. And we will be joined shortly by former UVA basketball star, an NBA player, and now NBA analyst, John Crotty. He'll be joining us to talk about his career, his days at UVA, and his assessment of Coach Tony Bennett. Before we do that, there are several ways that you can follow the program, and Frank will inform you of that right now.
As always, Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. We encourage everyone to send questions and comments via email to Who's Talking at sportsradio910.com, or you can call us at 345-0910. That number is 345-0910. All of our shows are archived on thesaber.com, and we also have a Facebook page. Just search Who's Talking and become a fan.
Well, Frank, as our listeners and fans have recognized in the newspaper in recent days, there are fewer members of the Virginia basketball team as of today than there were a week or so ago with the news that Sylvan Landisberg would not be coming back. Not really a surprise, but the formal announcement made yesterday, I guess, coming out of the media relations office, and then, of course, the other news that Tristan Spurlock will transfer and leave the team. So, Coach Bennett, as the paper and others have indicated, it's really becoming his team sooner rather than later. Sylvan is going to try to head to the pros. It remains to be seen whether or not he's going to be able to stick with the NBA. If not, I guess he'll have to go to Europe. And Tristan will try to find a home somewhere else in Division I college basketball. And assuming he goes to a Division I school, he'll have to sit out a year before he can play.
It's interesting to me that Sylvan, I think some people must have gotten to him that clearly, he's a talented athlete. He certainly has huge upside. A couple things I thought he needed to prove on were certainly his outside shot and maybe his ability to take over a game in the final seconds. But clearly, he has the body and the ability, and he's smart enough. So I wish Sylvan well. I'm sorry to see him go, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. Tristan, on the other hand, I guess at the end of the semester, he'll be somewhere else.
Yep, absolutely. And we wish both of them well. I think we do have John Crotty on the phone, so let me go through a quick introduction. He was born in New Jersey, now lives in Florida. How many people can you say that about?
Certainly not at his age.
He is the all-time UVA assist leader. What you may not realize is he just edged me out. He had 683 assists. I had three. Those were mistakes. You know, they were air balls that somebody caught and put in the basket. John, after he finished his UVA career, signed an undrafted contract with the Utah Jazz in 1992. Played 11 years in the NBA for seven different teams. Is now the radio analyst for the Miami Heat, so he's still connected to the NBA. Does have a day job in the commercial real estate industry down in South Florida. Married to his wife, Kara. Has two legacy daughters that will be coming to UVA in due course. Is that right, John?
Nice, yes. I love it.
Now, you got them out there shooting a jump shot?
We got them shooting the rock a little bit. I got them playing volleyball. They horseback ride. We got them doing everything, guys.
Well, I mean, it always helps to get a scholarship. You know, I mean, helps that checkbook situation if you can get them to go somewhere to play sports.
Hey, absolutely. You don't have to tell me. That's how I made it down to UVA and had a great experience. Any way you can get an opportunity to get in a good school, too, I think sports are just a great avenue to be able to do that.
John, we were looking through your background, and I think a lot of folks would like to they would be wondering about your recruitment. I noticed one of our listeners emailed us before the show tonight, Bruce, and he asked about the competition between maybe some of the other ACC schools with some, you know, question about North Carolina and their recruitment of King Rice and maybe Chris Corciani down at NC State. And what happened during your recruitment coming out of Christian Brothers?
Well, my recruitment was just a great experience. What was excellent about it was I have great parents who were able to give me a lot of guidance and also control the process from getting completely out of hand. I was fortunate. I was very highly recruited and went, you know, was a McDonald's All-American, so I had a lot of people interested in having me come to their school. And I really, you know, narrowed it down pretty quickly. My final five schools I still remember well were Notre Dame, North Carolina, Villanova, Stanford, and Virginia.
Wow.
And I took visits to those schools. And, you know, my father had gone to the University of North Carolina and actually played there for Frank McGuire when Dean Smith was an assistant there. So I grew up going to some of the Carolina basketball schools. But they really came on kind of late in terms of recruiting me, and I just felt Virginia was just the best mix of everything. It had great basketball in a conference, which was important to me. And having grown up in the Big East area, I always loved the ACC. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, the academics that I thought would really be good for me in the long run, and the social aspect of the school, too, I enjoyed. It's just a lot of fun. So it really had the best of the three things I was looking for.
You know, John, I noticed that you finished your UVA career in the top 20 in scoring. It's interesting, though, that you really made your living, if you will, as a great passer, and you set the UVA record for 683 assists. And during your pro career with those seven different teams, you put up 999 assists. And why didn't you play one more game so you could get that one more assist so you could say you had 1,000?
That's funny. I didn't realize that till after I was done playing. Otherwise, I might have been more aggressive. But no, I think the thing that kept me, you know, in the NBA and being an effective player for a long period of time was my ability to run a team. I could come in towards the end of my career and within 2 weeks, you know, grasp the system and understand who I was playing with and be able to get them the ball in the right spot and execute the offense that the coach wanted me to do on the floor. And that was my niche and my real skill to be able to do that. And I continued to improve other aspects of my game. I became a much better long-range shooter, a three-point shooter at NBA range, and a very high-percentage free-throw shooter as well. So, you know, those things, what you really – the difference between the college and the NBA game is just how much more time you have to work on your game. In college, you're busy going to class and involved in a lot of different – activities and whatnot, and the NBA, it's your living. And you know, you'll see guys who have the right form continue to improve, you know, as shooters, because all you're doing is shooting the basketball. And you know, normally within 3 or 4 years, you'll see guys dramatically improve their shooting technique.
John, I know you haven't really seen Virginia play a whole lot this year, but I also think you're at least familiar with Tony Bennett. And as
Definitely.
You describe your situation, I mean, a lot of people would talk about you as the point guard being a coach on the floor. And my sense is that's going to be an important thing for Coach Bennett's system. Would you agree with that?
I would. You know, I got to know Tony actually playing in the NBA when he was in Charlotte, and we would actually play against each other. And I have a lot of respect for him as a player, and I think he's done a great job at the other school he's been at, and I think he got off to a very good start. I was fortunate. I came up to Charlottesville as part of the Orange Bowl committee in the fall and got to watch the team practice. And one of the things I really appreciated that Tony did was he gave me an opportunity to talk to the team, and Wally Walker happened to be there, and he just, you know, wanted us to say hello. And the fact that we were former players, he wanted invite us in and be able to, you know, reconnect with the younger guys and let them know a little bit about our experiences, having both played in the NBA and Wally being a, you know, having been in an executive position, obviously, for a long period of time as the president of the Supersonics. And it was great. He really made us feel comfortable and welcome to sin, and you know, that was just a breath of fresh air. And I just like the way he handles his players. I think he's going to just get better and better when he can continue to recruit and bring in his own guys.
You know, if you stay on the Orange Bowl committee, the objective in Charlottesville is to have you come to look at our football team in the future, not the visiting team.
Of course.
And I think Coach London's going to get that done.
Yeah, I'm optimistic about that, too. I was happy to see him, you know, at least a guy, too, I think, who's familiar with the program. You know, I was friendly with Coach Groh on a personal level and enjoyed our relationship. But I'm glad to see that they've made a change with a guy who, you know, having been an assistant coach at Virginia, I think he understands what the school's about.
John, one of our sponsors sent me an email, and he asked, who was your first-year roommate at UVA? And I'm assuming there must be a good story there.
That's got to be... Dirk Katstra, who's the head of the Virginia Aid Foundation and raises all the money for the scholarships, and he must have been the one who sent that in. He's always trying to get a shameless plug, that guy.
I think that must be the case.
he's still one of my best friends and helps me stay connected to the university and has done a great job in terms of raising money. But Dirk and I got along very well during the course of our 4 years at Virginia, and I'm just so glad to see him, you know, in Charlottesville and being around a school that he really loves and understands so well. You know, he's a great representative of the university.
Hey, John, it's NCAA tournament time. Take us back to 1989 when you guys made the run to the regional final. And I was telling Frank earlier before we went on air, what amazes me is the score of those games. You scored 100 points the first game, 104 the second game, 86 the third. NCAA tournament games now are 52-50. What has happened?
Yeah, that's a great point. Those were great games, very exciting. We really came together well as a team that year. We finished, I believe, second in the league, and we had a team that was very skilled, and we had some size. Richard Morgan was playing at an incredible pace. When he got it going, he was very tough to stop, and we were just tough defensively, very hard nosed and tough, and played smart. And we got on a nice roll. You know, we played Providence in the first game, and it was they played a pressing up and down type style, which, you know, I really enjoyed playing it. So to me, I was excited about it, and we really played well as a team. And we played Middle Tennessee State and controlled that game pretty well, getting to the Sweet 16. And then we had the fun game where we were very excited about that game because Oklahoma was the number one seed. And they had really put a licking on us the year before when we were in Hawaii on a winter tournament out there. They really, really put the wood to us. So we were pretty motivated because of that, and it was so nice being able to beat them in Lexington. And
now what's interesting, you won that first game against Providence 100-97, and you're telling me what a good defensive team you were.
Hey, we won the game.
There you are. You know, that's my kind of defense right there. Whoever got the ball last.
That's right. That's right. And then, you know, we finished up. The fun thing about that, which was when I look back on it, they probably shouldn't have done it. They actually measured us for rings before the next game. Not Virginia, but like the I think the tournament did. It was kind of strange. And then we wound up playing Michigan. And Michigan had, you know, was absolutely loaded. I mean, they had six different guys that wound up going to the NBA. I actually played with a lot of them in the NBA. Guys like
Glenn Rice,
Terry Mills, Ramil Robinson, yeah. Lloyd Vaught, Sean Higgins. I mean, it was ridiculous. And you know, they put a
well. That was the year that Steve Fisher took over and won six straight games to win the national title, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. And they beat Seton Hall in the final.
Yeah.
You know, really, it was a great run, though, and it was a good team, and it was, you know, a lot of positive memories with those guys.
Well, John, it has been great having you on the show. We hope to bring you back down the road one of these days, and we can't thank you enough for joining us tonight. We're going to head to break here in just a few minutes, and we thank you, John. Thank you for appearing on our show.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Talk soon.
All right. Bye now.